Today we have two very special guests, Pastor Ted and Nancy Wilson. The Wilsons have lived and served the Lord in many parts of the world. And today, Pastor Wilson serves as the president of the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church. He and his wife, Nancy, have been married for 45 years. And today, they give us a glimpse into how God has led their personal lives right here on Revival for a Mission. Throughout the many episodes of Revival for Mission, you have heard Pastor Ted Wilson and I interview other people and find out about their stories. Today, we're going to find out about the story behind Pastor Ted Wilson and his wife, Nancy Wilson. She will join us in just a few moments. But Pastor Wilson, what a tremendous opportunity to tell some personal details about your story. Because you preach sermons, you lead meetings, and people hear you in many different ways. But it's often to do with the business of the church, is to do with the mission of the church. And we don't have time to go into the personal stories that make up the individual behind your function. And today, that's exactly what we're going to do, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, Sam, and it's just been a great privilege and a pleasure to co-host Revival for Mission. And thank you for the opportunity of sharing a little bit personally. You know, everyone has a story. Everyone has a reference as to how God has led in their life. And that's why it's so important to listen. We ought to use more time listening than speaking. Listening to what people have to say and how God has formed their own experience of witnessing for Him. So thank you for the opportunity. I think it'll be a blessing to many who may hear. And let's just pray that the Lord will use everyone to tell their story in giving God the glory, because He is a marvelous God. Jesus has done so much for us, and He's coming back soon to take us home. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you unexpected end.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. What a special day today where we will interview the host, Elder Ted Wilson and Nancy Wilson. Thank you for coming to Revival for Mission.
This is a little different perspective, but we're here.
On the other side, now answering the questions. The first question I have is actually for Nancy. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how you met. How was the romance sparked? Where did you first meet? I know it's a long story, I've been told. I don't know the story, and most people don't either. So tell us.
I'll just tell you the beginning, because it's quite a long story. But I was living in Loma Linda, working as a physical therapist, and my grandparents lived there. And I went to the Hill Church, but my grandparents went to the Loma Linda University Church. And one day, Grandpa was not well, and so I told Grandma, I'll come pick you up and take you to church. So we went to the University Church. And we went and sat down for Sabbath school, and we hadn't been sitting there long, and here comes another little elderly lady with this young, nice-looking man. And they came and sat. I was sitting on the end, and Grandma was sitting next to me, and along comes this other little older lady and this nice-looking man. And Grandma looked, and she waved to him. And I thought, how does she know who he is? And it was Ted, or Teddy, as she called him. It was Ted. And she poked me and like this, and she said, stick with me, and I'll introduce you after church. And so she introduced us when we were ushered out, and there in the foyer of the church, we met, and we talked, and we talked, and we talked.
And we were about the last people out of there, I think.
Yes, I think they had to get us out so they could lock the doors. But one thing that really impressed me was that he had been in the hospital the day before, just getting some routine tests done, and he had met this little old lady. She was old to me then, but now I probably think she was quite young anyway. And he had asked her if she would like to go to church. He didn't know her, but he thought, this is an opportunity. So he had gone and picked her up and brought her to church. And I found that I was very, very impressed.
So she was a visitor.
She was a visitor.
Let me tell you just a little backstory of that, because earlier, about 4 years before that, I had seen Nancy at a wedding. She was back in the east side of the United States. I saw her at this wedding and wondered who she was, you know, and asked around. No, she's kind of going with somebody or whatever, that kind of thing. And they were actually trying to protect this fellow who they were hoping would date her. So I never met her. And when I was at Loma Linda University studying, I saw her a couple times. And, you know, wanted to get acquainted with her, but it never worked out. So I'm living proof here that when the Lord wants something to happen, he will open the door. Because we went into that church that Sabbath morning, and I looked, you know, for a place for us to sit, and there were two places right next to Grandma Vollmer and Nancy. And I knew that was the place we ought to sit. And I had met her grandmother years before, so the connection was there. The Lord opens doors in amazing ways.
And so between God opening doors and some strategy.
Yeah, you're right.
It worked out. How many years have you been together?
We have been married 45.
Almost 46, getting years. Towards that. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And, of course, being married to
we
a pastor.
We were children when we married. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were actually a little older, but anyway.
It's not easy being married to a pastor, especially mm-hmm. one that is a missionary. So mm-hmm. you kind of understood that your life was going to be mm-hmm. moving around from place to place. Mm-hmm. I remember, Nancy, you mentioning to my wife, Amy, mm-hmm. that after staying the whole day with the children, mm-hmm. Ted would come home and you would just go, okay, they are yours.
Yes. how
was that upbringing in all of these missionary settings you were at?
Well, I think it's easier when you're overseas than when you're here, because Ted would come home for lunch, too, because, well, we were in West Africa for 9 years, and we had a lunch break. And everything, school closed, everything, the shops closed, and he would come home. But it was also overseas, you're like a family. You have people around to support you when he would travel, which he didn't travel that much. But it was, it's still, when you're away from family, just like you are, you and your wife with your three boys, you're away from family. And so you don't have that family support around you. And so the community of missionaries was very important and helpful. But yes, for any mom, I tell them the best thing you can do is leave your children with your husband for a day, and they get a glimpse of what your day is like. And but we need each other, and
it's a partnership.
It is definitely a partnership.
Let me just say something though on Nancy's willingness to be a missionary. To begin with, we'd gotten married. We were working. I was working in New York as a pastor, and we received some mission application blanks. You know, not for immediate, but maybe for the future. And when I shared this with her, she just kind of broke down crying, no, I can't leave my family. It was not until about 5 years later she was willing to at least fill the blank out. And I want to tell you, the Lord changes our hearts as we respond and say, yes, Lord, I will go. And the Lord blessed in a marvelous way. Nancy finally agreed, you know, to do something as an overseas missionary. And she's a wonderful missionary. The Lord used her in a wonderful way. But we have to be willing to say yes, and at the right time.
And sometimes that does take some time.
It does. But I think I'm living proof that the bottom line was I always wanted to do God's will. And I've had some very straight conversations with the Lord and told him why I thought this call or that one was not appropriate or wasn't from him. But the bottom line is, I want to do your will, Lord. And if that is your prayer, he will give you the heart to do it when he calls you. And for me, it took a few years to get to that point.
Pastor Wilson, you have been leading the Seventh-day Adventist World Church for a number of years now. And there are over 200 countries. We speak over 1,000 languages. Every single week we worship Jesus in over 1,000 languages. It's a global church. You grew up in the mission field. How much did that impact your ability to understand the world beyond a particular nation, in your case, the United States?
Sam, that's a great question, because the influence of my early years had an enormous effect on my whole world perspective and even what I'm doing now. I grew up in Cairo, Egypt. In essence, I knew nothing about the world except for Egypt. I knew about the United States, but I had never been to the United States except that I was born in the United States on a furlough. My parents spent almost 15 years in Egypt, and I was born about in the middle of that. And when I was 6 months old, they went back. In fact, I was born 10 days after they got back to the United States, coming on a boat. So I was almost born, you know, like in the in the ocean area. But in any case, I knew nothing except Egypt. And Egypt, even to this day, is my home. I have many homes because I've served in different places, and I love so many different cultures and people and all of that. But the Middle East is really very close to my heart. The food, the culture, the people, you know, the language, etc. I don't speak much Arabic, a little bit, but it's a marvelous place. And that has created a world perspective that I never would have gotten in any other way. And so, you're a little bit different than people when you come back home, because you have a different experience. You're just in a different culture. You absorb all these different cultures, so you actually become, as they call it, even a third culture. And that third culture is this mixture. But it has colored, tinted, influenced my perspective about international activities enormously. And growing up in the home that I did, my father himself was the son of a missionary. He spent years growing up in Africa and in India, and then went to the Middle East. So these influences, and my grandparents who spent many years outside of this country, all of this impacts your perspective, and it's invaluable. I praise God for it.
Let's talk a little bit more about your father, because he was also an administrator. He served in the same capacity you're serving. And how did you learn, how useful was it to see your father as an administrator, the kind of issues and so on, and you see the different dynamics of what it means to be an administrator of a church. How did that impact you and helped you learn from an early age some of the issues that I'm sure you now have been dealing with?
It was a profound influence on my life because I learned, we all learn by watching, by observing, by absorbing certain things. And I watched Dad, I listened to Dad, I understood how he worked in certain situations, how he valued individuals and allowed for responses, how he would make sure that people understood that he was willing to listen and not to just immediately make a decision. And also, growing up in the home that I did, my parents were so supportive. They were so encouraging to me as a son, as a child. I mean, I will never forget, my parents would tell me, my father especially says, "I believe in you." I mean, just those simple words, just, they give you encouragement. They help you to see the world in a different way. "I believe in you." And that's, of course, what the Lord tells us. He believes in us. He wants us to be part of his team. So, yes, growing up in the home I did was a great preparation for whatever the Lord would have in mind for me. And I, you know, I was tempted at times to do different things. I'm a frustrated amateur architect. I love designing things and remodeling things and all that kind of thing. So I thought about architecture at one point. I thought about, you know, something in the health field, medicine or dentistry or something like that. But the Lord always brought me back, and my parents didn't force me into being a minister at all. But it was just kind of something that we knew the Lord was directing. And, you know, I just praise God for the way he has led in my life.
Nancy, you have a ministry with the spouses of some of the division leaders, that we call them, mm-hmm. different areas mm-hmm. of the church. And I recently heard that when they go through some struggles, they call you in to minister to them and be part of their lives. And you've been doing that for years, obviously. How is it that you can support other ministers' wives in your role?
Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing is, I think we sense each other's burdens, and prayer is a huge, huge part of support. And excuse me, when they know that we are praying for them and we're interested in what is going on in their lives. And that's the one thing I miss the most, though, about this COVID business, is because actually I've started with some techie people's help. Meg Deal, his assistant, has been huge helping me. I have this prayer group now. We are meeting once a month by Zoom, and we can share concerns and pray together. And it has made me miss that face-to-face contact that I had with them, because when, you know, we have a lot of the same concerns in our lives because we're married to administrators, and, you know, it's the same for everyone. And so we can share, we can pray together, And I'm always very interested in their families and what's happening, and vice versa. So it's a wonderful, we have a good camaraderie, and we're trying now to strengthen that by this monthly prayer group.
Pastor, since I've known of you, and I started to listen to your sermons and so on, there is always an emphasis in the Bible and an emphasis in fulfilling the mission of the church. But you've always been an advocate for every Seventh-day Adventist to take up their role, take up their responsibility to fulfill the mission themselves. And this has always been your cry. This has always been your emphasis. And we have some names for this. Total member involvement, the I Will Go strategic plan, and always the church members rising and delivering on the promise they made to God when they became disciples of Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to come back from the break, and I want to ask you about your direct involvement in the mission over the years. We've heard how the first time that Nancy met with you, I thought it was a relative. No, it was a visitor you met the day before. So direct mission has always been part of your life, and we're going to ask a few questions about that. If you're watching us, this is the host of Revival for Mission, Pastor Ted Wilson. We're listening to his story and his wife, Nancy, and their ministry. We're going on a break, but we're coming back in a moment. Don't go away. Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Today we are interviewing Pastor Ted Wilson and Sister Nancy Wilson. And we find out how you met. We found out why you have such an emphasis in mission and your upbringing. But I want to go back to you, Nancy, because I heard of a resolution that you had before you got married. What did you tell yourself?
I told myself that I would never marry a pastor.
I think you broke that resolution.
Yes, pretty easily, actually. But
and once you became a pastor, tell us about, you moved to New York. That move was difficult because it's New York. It's a different world altogether.
Right.
How was that transition?
Well, it was a little bit challenging because he had already started pastoring for a year. And all of a sudden, you know, he knows everyone, everybody, actually, the ladies were trying to find a wife for him, and then I show up, and but I had been working and very independent, and all of a sudden I felt like I was in this fishbowl, and everybody was watching, and I had to fit into this pastor's wife box, and it took me about 3 months. I didn't want to share a whole lot with him because I didn't want to disappoint him. Because I was a little bit disappointed in myself, and I thought I have to resolve this. And I don't know what happened. I know there was a young couple in the church, and one Saturday night they invited two other couples. We went to their home for a Saturday night dinner, and it was just so nice. We were all the same age, more or less, and I felt I can just be myself. And then it hit me. I remember that was kind of the turning point. It hit me that God is a very creative God. He makes us all different. And he wants us to be who he created us to be. He wanted me to be myself. And the one thing he asked me to do was to love the people in the church, to love them, to listen to them, to care about them. I didn't necessarily have to work in the children's divisions and be, although I did start out there, but he wanted me to just love the people. And that just turned me completely around. I loved that church, and when we left, I cried. I didn't want to leave. And it, you know, we need to recognize that we never have to fit into a box, that God wants us to become the person He wants us to become.
But it wasn't hard for her to love the people, because God's given her a special gift to just draw people in and to befriend them and all of that. And so she's a wonderful wife and helpmeet, and the Lord has blessed her ministry to others in a powerful way. I don't know what I would do without her.
I've seen Nancy in this capacity many times, because she is herself all the time. And I've seen the impact that this had in my own family, as a minister arriving in a new country. Mm-hmm. You know, when you prayed with Amy, when mm-hmm. you shared some words with her, it has an impact, because it's clear to see how genuine you are. You know, it's not a front, it's not a position, it's who you are, and you care. So, and that transpires. It's very special. Pastor Wilson, we were talking about the idea of involving everybody in the mission and how passionately you feel about that.
You know, that's what being a follower of Christ is all about. And the work will not be finished on this earth until everyone is involved with the outreach, the proclamation of the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, and that fourth angel of Revelation 18, calling people back to the true worship of God, helping them to see that those messages are filled with the righteousness of Christ, His justifying and His sanctifying righteousness. And people need to feel part of the church, not just kind of observe it and say, well, yeah, I'll turn in some tithe and give some offerings and watch what happens. No, they need to feel part of the church. That's why total member involvement is so important. Everyone doing something for Jesus. Everyone focusing on Christ's soon return. Everyone being part of what God places in your heart to share with others. You know, that's why they need to say, yes, Lord, I'll go.
Pastor, why don't you share with the people at home some thoughts from Scripture?
You know, what a blessing it is to know that Jesus is coming soon. And those of you who have been watching on Revival for Mission, you understand that the emphasis on mission is so important because Christ is coming. And you know, in Revelation chapter 21, the second to the last chapter of the Bible, John is saying, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then he saw the holy city coming down. And then in verse 4, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I want to tell you, I'm looking forward to that day. I am looking forward to the day when I will see you, and all of us will be together focusing upon the Lord. For the Lord will descend soon. He will take us to a new place, a place to give us a wonderful eternal life filled with hope. And that's what we can share with others. God bless each one of you as you participate in Revival for Mission.